south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, today I'm happy to announce my latest Expat Insider Seminar will be taking place in Central America once again, Guatemala and El Salvador, and it'll start Friday night, January 10th. Go all the way through till Thursday night, January 16th. And so as to not bore you too much with the details here on the show, I invite you to send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Put the words seminar or expat seminar in the subject box, and I'll send you the complete details and the price breakdown. Oh, and we're talking about early bird signups and early bird discounts here. You'll save $500 off the regular price if you sign up before November 30th. Oh, and just a couple more details. All you past Expat Insider Seminar attendees, if you come back as repeat offenders, you get a $1,000 discount off the regular price. And, you know, there is one real important thing about my seminars. I get emails from people all the time saying, Johnny, is your seminar really worth it? And the thing is, how are they supposed to know if they've never been to one? And, of course, I could send you reams of text and audio testimonials saying how good it is. And, you know, it seems anyone who puts on a seminar about anything, they do just that. They put talking heads up on their website saying how great the seminar was and why you should attend. And man, take it from me, you could get anyone to do that for you. You can stage it all you like. But here's one thing that's very different about my seminars. People keep coming back. You've heard me talk about repeat offenders. I'll tell you, this will be my 18th seminar. And the fact is, every single seminar except the very first one, we've had a number of repeat offenders. Now, of course, you can't have repeat offenders at the first seminar because it's the first one, and therefore, no one could be a repeater. But that's the only reason. And who'd have thunk I'd had so many people wanting to repeat, not just once, but twice, and even people repeating three different times. So then, do you think the seminar's worth it? Would you have any doubts when people keep coming and paying over and over again? Yep, they go through all that trouble just to drink from the fire hose once again. Well, it's all about that. Plus, when you come to a seminar, you bond with all the great expats who have moved down here and hang around with us. And, of course, there's all those great professional connections we hook you up with, too. Well, here's the point. You know those big international living seminars? Lots of people who come to mine have been to one of those. And the fact is, from what I hear, they never have repeat offenders. In fact, I sort of think I coined that term for my particular seminars only. So, for all you listeners out there who are wondering, in the back of your mind, is it really worth it? Well, I'm not going to give you a link to some audio or text testimonial, because everyone who puts on any kind of seminar, whether it's stocks, bonds, finance, options, travel, real estate, whatever kind of seminar, they can come up with all kinds of testimonials. They can pay to have them done if they like. But you never, ever hear them mention repeat offenders, do you? I wonder why. I rest my case. Anyway, if you want to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B and drink from that fire hose, starting January 10th, 2020, just pop off an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and just two more things. If you're coming down as a single and want to save some money, I can generally hook you up with a roommate, same sex, of course. And, you know, down here, we don't have 56 different labels for 56 different gender identifications. And no one, I mean no one here in Latin America is fussy about pronouns either. No way. That said, if you're male and you need a roommate, we'll try to hook you up with a male roommate with a real XY chromosome. And females looking for a roommate, we'll hook you up with a lady who's got 2 solid X chromosomes, guaranteed. And man, you know what? In some ways, I wish I didn't speak Spanish, because you see, when educated Latins find out there's a gringo in the house who speaks Spanish, just lately, a few of them have been giving me the 100-question routine, especially about the crazy pronoun designations and the gender-bending thing. And though none of that craziness has yet to diminish their love for the U.S., I don't get it. They certainly see the cracks in the pavement up by you guys. So then you might ask, what do I say to them about it? Well, it's sort of an hour-long conversation, isn't it? And still, it's difficult trying to turn someone who loves all things Mickey Mouse and Hollywood and my jammy, if you know what I mean. Look, how do you educate a person, even if they're pretty smart, about the multiple reasons the U.S. is imploding from within? But I digress, as usual. Where were we? Oh, yeah. A few last words about the seminar. And finally, the cost of the seminar is complete, includes all the hotel nights from Friday on through Thursday night. That's 7 nights. So the only thing you really have to pay for is lunch and dinner. Breakfasts are included. All right, enough said about that. Hey, here's a question for you. Do you use a VPN? You know, it's one of those services you pay for sometimes. Sometimes they're free. Whose purpose is to hide your IP address. In other words, when you're searching the net or whatever you're doing on the net, every time you send a message or receive a message, your tracks, that is your GPS location, wherever you are with your computer or smartphone, is logged in multiple places all over the net. However, if you use a VPN, that stands for Virtual Private Network, once you start surfing or ordering from Amazon or anything, your real IP address, that is your real location, is concealed, because they tack on another IP address wherever their servers are. Or if you have one of those paid services, sometimes they're only $15 to $30 a year, you can actually select the country or even the cities you want that IP address of yours to appear to be originating from. In other words, if you're sitting on the couch in Cleveland, watching Netflix, sucking down beer and Cheetos in your underwear, while searching the net looking for offshore betting sites and midget porn, well, all those sites you visited will be logged in and tagged with your IP address and your GPS location, and time and date, too. You're probably doing all that with Google, too, and that's not good. Because Google, you know, is the great universal compiler of information. That's how they make their dough, on Google Ads and selling every little bit of information they can get on you to third parties. Yep, Google has you fine-tuned and knows every one of your surfing preferences, too. Even if you're using some other search engine, one of the usual suspects like Yahoo or any of the others, same thing. Let me give you a little example here. I'm a B-grade musician. I've been playing music since I was 6 years old, you know, various instruments and such. But you know, B-grade is plenty good enough to play it professionally, as long as you're playing bass. Most people don't know this, but from 3rd to 12th grade, I hacked away at the cello. Yes, the cello. Actually got pretty good at it, so I do have an appreciation for classical music. So what was my downfall? Well, when I hit 12 and got a paper route and had some spending money, I bought a guitar, started rocking and rolling, and that was the end of my classical period, much to my educated mother's disdain. But I did have a good long run playing music professionally, and the classical part of it got my foot into the recording industry door. Lots of very cool stories there. And of course, I'll be spilling a few of them here and there, you know that. So naturally, when I'm on the internet, I'm drawn to many different kinds of music sites, including lots of sites that sell guitars and amplifiers, keyboards, recording and sound reinforcement equipment, the works. Also, being an engineer and very interested in solar stuff and renewable energy, I'm always checking out the latest and greatest in that field, too. But now, here's the thing. I also have a VPN. I use it all the time. Though, technically, I really don't have to because I am in Latin America. But I'd rather be safe than sorry. So why am I not very worried? Well, fat chance people want to track me and my preferences. Not when my location and IP address are always coming out of a third world country. But get this. I've got one of those VPNs you pay for. One that you could select your country and even cities within countries where it appears you're situated. Though you're really not. So anyway, when I fire up my computer in the morning, I click on the VPN before I load up any websites or do any surfing. And right there on the screen, I can pick my country and city. The thing is, you should never pick a first world country, where for sure they've got a lot better and more sophisticated ways of nabbing your data and trying to sell you stuff. Now, lately I've been routing my VPN out of Brazil. And surprise, surprise, suddenly all the pop-up windows I get on the right-hand side are showing guitars and solar equipment on websites and stores in Brazil. In Portuguese, of course. Even crazier, when I'm watching a YouTube and those ads pop in every once in a while, right, where it says skip this ad in 5 seconds, they're all products and ads coming from places in Brazil, also in Portuguese. Really, you have to see some of these Honda and Mitsubishi ads in Portuguese. You won't understand a thing, but you'll laugh your ass off. And then when I switch over to a country like Greece or Romania, within a couple of hours, the pop-up windows come up in Romania and Greek, which definitely means those VPNs do work. It also means every single thing you say and do on the net or with your cell phone is being tagged, cataloged, and filed and sold to third parties constantly. Now, if you're old enough to remember the days when people actually wrote letters through the U.S. Postal Service, you know, snail mail, if you remember, there was always a big sign in every post office that said there's a $10,000 fine and or 5 years in prison if you're caught stealing or tampering with the U.S. mail. It was and still is a federal crime, a felony. And man, they really enforced that law. In other words, if you walked over to your neighbor, went into his mailbox, pulled his mail, took your little letter opener, and started reading it, and you got caught, you'd be in big trouble. Many people have been put in jail for that. But you see, once you're on the net, whether you're on the computer or your smartphone, what you're doing is giving anyone and everyone permission to look at everything you've written and done. Now, of course, back in the snail mail days, you'd have never agreed to that. You'd have been outraged if the U.S. Postal Service made you sign a waiver saying they could look at your stuff or even catalog it and sell it to third parties. But somehow, in this generation, this last 20 years, nobody seems to remember what privacy really is. And if they think they have it on the internet, they're nuts. Unless, of course, you use VPNs and encrypted mail. To which, and I just saw the statistics, less than 1% of people on the net use encrypted mail. And even though you see all these services advertising that they encrypt this or that, the thing is, 95% of the time, when things are encrypted, they're encrypted at the server. And that's often miles, even countries away from where you are. That means anything you send that eventually gets to the server can be intercepted along the way. And it is. So, just keep that in mind, everyone who remembers snail mail and actually wrote letters. We're not living in the same world or under the same rules, so don't expect anything you do to be private. And now, of course, it's even worse because with GPS and photos and video calls, everything you do now is time and location stamped, too. At least back in the snail mail days, if someone got a hold of your mail, they wouldn't have pictures nor time, date, or location information. So all this cataloging of everything you do should piss you off, right? Well, of course it does, but not so fast. It's your fault. Because what you do when you sign up for one of these services, even when you buy a smart device, anything that says smart, by the way, is going to collect data on you. The problem is these days when you buy a product or a service, in the 20-page agreement you never read but you check the box at the end, it always, always says in the fine print that we can selectively keep, monitor, and sell your data and other acquired information to third parties. So they're not doing anything illegal because you gave them permission by clicking the box. So really, the least you should do is get yourself a VPN that you buy, that you pay for, because the free ones also collect data on you, and get yourself an encrypted email service, one that's encrypted end-to-end, like ProtonMail or StartMail. Of course, not many people like to use those services because they cost some dough, at least to get the decent plans, although they offer basic free service. The basic free ones always have their limitations because they want you to move on up. But also, you're really selling yourself short if you don't use one of the search engines that completely blocks your IP address, too. And those, by the way, are free, like startpage.com and DuckDuckGo. But then you hear people say, oh man, I love Google. It searches millions of sites with billions of results. I just plugs up in the box and man, it's like a miracle. I can find anything. Yeah, that's right. But what you don't know is services like DuckDuckGo and startpage.com, they too are using Google. They just put a layer between you and the bad guys. So Google does not see your IP address. Therefore, you're not tracked at all when you do your searches, and there's zero pop-up windows too. So don't think you're selling yourself short by using DuckDuckGo or startpage.com. They are using the Google search engine too. They're just putting a layer between you and the Mark Zuckerturds of the world. So really, to cut these jerks off at the balls, you got to get yourself a VPN, a private encrypted email service that you pay for, but still, you want to use the basics of the Google search engine, which you can do. You run all your searches first through startpage.com or DuckDuckGo. And if you don't, your entire life will be open to the world and all third parties. Just as if, back in the old snail mail days, you handed a copy of every single piece of snail mail that you sent to all your neighbors and friends. In fact, to all of Greater Cleveland and the whole world. Now, the cool thing about having a plan B and moving to Latin America, well, there's a ton of cool things, but here's one of them anyway. In Latin America, when you're on the net, your IP address, which is tagged to the Latin country that you're in, is of little or no concern to first world data collectors and third parties. Because they figure, well, the third world's the third world. Whereas the real money in data collection is with first world people in first world countries. They've got tremendous spending power, etc., etc. And third world people, man, they've got very little discretionary income and mostly very bad credit or no credit at all. I mean, look, we're talking about countries where the basic minimum wage is like $300 or $400 a month, whereas in the States, it's well over $2,000 a month. So let me ask you this. Who would you spend your marketing and advertising dough on? The guy down in El Salvador who doesn't even have a car, though he might have a debit card or two, or the guy up in Cleveland making $50 or $60,000 a year who's got two cars and a half a dozen credit cards, not debit cards. All right, let's switch gears a second. Now I'd like to read a kind of a general email, but it has some things in it that people are always asking me about. So let's have at it. This one comes from Marty, obviously a French guy. He says, Johnny, I must say that I'm enjoying your podcast tremendously and always look forward to the next one each week. Thank you for taking the time to give us a hand with our Plan B. I would be very interested, however, in several things you've talked about on your show. You have a particular travel coffee maker and grinder you carry with you, correct? Let's hear about it. All right, let me stop for a second to address that. Yes, I'm spoiled. One of my vices is I like coffee. Good coffee. Now, I remember back in college, used to drink coffee from the machine all the time and from one of those bun coffee makers, you know, those ubiquitous things in every truck stop, diner slash greasy spoon restaurant. Well, sorry, folks, that ain't coffee. In fact, I really did not find out about good coffee till I came down about 30 years ago. Oh, sure, back in the day in Chicago before I left, they had a few Starbucks, but only in the ritzy-titsy areas. And the coffee was, just like it is now, way overpriced for what it is. And really, when people go to Starbucks, they always get the lattes and the crema mocha de java specialties loaded with all kinds of extraneous crap. And really, that ain't coffee either. So then what do I know about coffee? Well, let's just say when it's growing right outside your front door and people are harvesting it all around you, and there's something like 200 little family-owned indigenous coffee plantations within spitting distance, you get to learn about really, really good and really bad coffee fast. So being that coffee is one of my vices, and I have to have it fresh ground in the morning, and that means even if I'm in a restaurant and I say Cafe Americano, which is basically American-style coffee, you know, nothing extra added, straight black. Anyway, when you say Cafe Americano, if you want it fresh ground, you have to say in la máquina expresso, or simply in la máquina, which means in the machine, the espresso machine. Now, we're not talking about espresso coffee here, though the machine, of course, makes espresso. We're talking about a regular cup of coffee that's made in the espresso machine. In other words, there's a lot more water added. And how do you know it's from the machine when you get it handed to you? It's always got a little brown, foamy froth on top. If it doesn't have that, it could have come out of a restaurant percolator, you know, of the bun type, which, you know, from the States is nothing but bad truck stop coffee. So even when you walk into a little restaurant or coffee shop and you see a nice big espresso machine that's in use, and you don't want espresso but really good coffee, you can't just say, give me a Cafe Americano. Even though most times you will get the right thing, which is black coffee coming out of the espresso machine. Problem is, most of those coffee shops that serve food, they'll also have some kind of giant percolator behind the counter making that generic truck stop coffee. That's just what people are used to because espresso machines are very, very expensive. Though, even here in Latin America, you're starting to see them everywhere. So, if you want the best cup of coffee you can get in a particular place, always say Cafe Americano in la máquina, in the machine. Not just Cafe Americano. Unless the joint specializes in coffee, then they'll know exactly what you're talking about and it'll be right up there on the menu. Like, for example, when you're in Colombia, there'll be those Juan Valdez coffee shops all over the place. They know exactly what a good cup of Cafe Americano is. But beware, if you're in any other kind of restaurant, you have to specify. In la máquina. Máquina means machine. And because I travel an awful lot, and when you stay in a pretty decent hotel, sometimes you'll have a little percolator right in the room and some coffee in a little pre-sealed pack. You see that all the time in 3- and 4-star hotels. Well, you know what? I don't drink this stuff. I usually bring my own. Normally, I pack about a quarter pound of coffee. That should last me a few weeks at 2 cups a day. That's what they call café entero. That means whole bean coffee, café entero. But then, of course, you have to grind it, right? Well, did I find a grinder, man? I've been using it for the last couple of years now. It's very famous and popular in Korea and Japan, but it's expensive. It's a little hand grinder, but wow, is it a precision instrument? Man, it's as if a team at Mercedes-Benz or Porsche put the thing together. It's a real work of art, and it only produces enough for 1 cup every time you grind it. And it's small, too, no bigger than a small pepper grinder. And guess what? You never have to clean it. At least I haven't had to in 2 years now, and it's not gunked up at all. Oh, and that coffee grinder is infinitely adjustable for whatever grind you want. Next step, brewing the coffee. Man, did I find the coolest solution to that, too? It's a little tiny, pure stainless steel, double insulated like a thermos bottle, French press that's out of, I believe, Austria. And that ain't cheap either, but man, it's indestructible. And because it's double insulated and vacuum sealed, it'll keep your coffee warm for an hour. It does 1 cup, and it's smaller than the grinder. If you want to know exactly what I take with me, just send me an email and I'll send all the links and stuff off to you. I don't make anything off this. You're not clicking through my website. I don't have one. Bottom line, you won't be disappointed. All right, then our emailer, Martin, goes on to say, Johnny, along with your travel coffee maker slash grinder setup, you also have portable water filter, portable solar power sources, and I'd like to know if you have something together that you send people about various solar setups you can install on your house, and pretty much as many details as you have on where and how to get that stuff. All right, me, Johnny, again, yes, I've got all that information for you. If you're looking for the solar companies and solar setups that I'm using now and I recommend, remember, I'm a real electrical engineer, at least I was in a past life, actually a double major, electrical and biomedical engineering. So that kind of qualifies me when it comes to buying and evaluating most stuff that's electrical or electronic. At least you could say I'm one up on the next guy. And remember, whatever info I give you, I don't make any money on. And the companies don't even give me any free stuff. What a bunch of jerks, huh? It's all stuff that I found out for myself and that I use. No one's got their hooks in me. So if a product's good, it's good. And if it sucks, and I tell it like it is. And let me tell you, there isn't a single day that goes by where I don't get an email or two or 10 coming from somebody, some company or organization that wants to hook up with me to promote and sell their stuff. And you know what? I never fall for it. In fact, I wish they'd quit trying, quit bugging me. That goes for those exiled Nigerian princes, too. Seems everyone wants to partner with me. That would just give me a credibility problem and a conflict of interest problem, too, wouldn't it? Hey, I don't need the money. When I came down here 30 years ago, I didn't need the money. I was never one of those guys who had a plan B who needed to work when he got down here. And here's why. Me and my brother, both electrical engineers, and another guy, an electrical engineer and mathematician PhD, we have, or had, 13 electronics patents. And all that came before I was 30 years old. That's why I don't need the money. All right, Ben Martin says, Johnny, my wife and I are sold all the way on the plan B and are working on it actively. The unfortunate thing is that we fell in love with Costa Rica the three times we went there, and now I'm very disappointed on how the place turned out. We will probably go back there on vacation, but most likely not to get permanent residency. However, we're very interested in attending your seminar, but can't do it till next summer. We're hoping to keep our fingers crossed that you will still continue to do them for at least a little while longer. I also got your online courses a while back with your videos, but I haven't sat down to go through all of them yet. I'm assuming some of the information may have changed, but it will still give me a great start judging on what your shows are all about. For the past year, my wife and I are so interested, we put together our own Spanish class in our basement, and we found some other interested people who want to learn the language and to join us and share the cost of a teacher. We never expected it, but we're having a blast learning Spanish and getting together with our new friends, the ones we found doing the Spanish thing. Though I must say that it is a slow process, but very worth it. As for me, I can read and understand Spanish quite well now, and I'm starting to structure some of my own phrases in Spanish. And in a few months, for our next trip, we're heading to Colombia with our teacher to get ourselves immersed and challenged. Now we can get serious and put it to the test. Haha. Then he says, Johnny, I'm learning so much, and I'm so entertained each week from your shows. Please keep them coming, my friend. I think I've listened to all of them in the last 2 years. Oh, and please forgive me if my grammar sucks in this email. I'm getting a bit mixed up once in a while between French, English, and Spanish. But it is so much fun, you know. Thanks for everything, Johnny. Merci beaucoup. Et au plaisir de te rencontrer bientôt. Whatever that means. Yeah, I know what it means, even if I can't pronounce it. Thanks, and it's a pleasure to have made your acquaintance, or something like that. All right, thanks for that, Martin. Though I have to say, and you've probably heard me say this a few times before, I almost never run into tourists or expats from France. I run into French speakers, but they're always from Montreal. Someone once told me France is to Montreal what Great Britain is to Australia. Whatever that means, make your own conclusion. All right, now it's time to talk a little bit about getting pulled over by the cops and drinking and driving here in Latin America. Now, you've heard me say so many times in past shows that people have open booze in their cars. They get pulled over at one of the routine stops, and the cops normally don't do a thing, though you might have to share your booze with them. Though it is true in Costa Rica, where they prey on gringos and tourists, if you have booze in the car or they put the breathalyzer on you, and some of them actually have breathalyzers that work, you will pay a major fine, but it will probably be in the order of mordida or a bribe. In other words, you won't get written up. They'll threaten to write you up, but instead you'll hand over the dough right there. Pretty big dough, too, like $500. Talking about Costa Rica, I have some firsthand knowledge of some gringos that's already happened to, even when they weren't drinking and just had booze in the car. And in Colombia, in the big cities anyway, the cops are pretty well organized. And if you're drinking and driving or have booze in the car, they'll most likely write you up, but they don't have a point system, and you'll probably end up paying a fine. Though in Colombia, it seems, the cops are a little bit more professional than the rest of Latin American cops and are thus less inclined to come right out and ask you for a bribe. Though, you can always make the suggestion on your end. Let's put it this way, they won't hold it against you. However, today I'd like to report that now that the gringos are piling into Cuenca, Ecuador, the cops there, vis-a-vis the police department, have found it's a lucrative way to sting gringos. Listen to this. And it really is something brand new. This from an article in an Ecuador publication that just came out this week. It says, just for the weekend of September 21st and 22nd, there were 37 vehicle drivers arrested and put in jail, which, believe me, is virtually unheard of in other Latin countries. Because, you see, in other Latin cities of that size, there could be 37 drunk drivers or whatever, but they're not going to jail unless they actually got involved in an accident and someone was hurt. Instead, they may end up getting a ticket or pay a bribe, but they don't go to jail. But now, Cuenca, Ecuador seems to be leading the charge, all because the gringos are piling in and making things more first world. Listen to this. Of the 37 drivers arrested, 36 of them were arrested for drunken driving, and one was arrested for not having a driver's license. That's another thing that almost never happens in other Latin countries. You get a fine if you don't have your license. In fact, if you have a driver's license that's expired, they don't even do anything to you except once in a while slap on a $50 fine. And crazier yet, according to U.S. regs anyway, if your license is expired, they might give you a ticket or make you pay a fine or a bribe right there, but they'll let you keep driving on. Anyway, it says, in that past weekend in Cuenca, there were 6 drivers' checkpoints set up, and it went down like the usual police stops in Latin America. They don't cruise around looking for drivers that are weaving because they're drunk and driving all over the place. That would use too much gas, and the cops here in Latin America only get 2 or 3 gallons a day. So starting that weekend, the cops just set up the control checkpoints and waited for the drunks to come to them. So again, just a little heads up on what happens when the gringos start piling in. Now, of course, a lot of you first world people out there might think that's a good thing. That is, sending drunk drivers to jail. As for me, I think drunk drivers should get a big fine, and maybe the second time they go to jail. But this whole new thing in Ecuador, it smacks of just a way for a broke, bankrupt government to collect dough. Remember, it's a country that's highly leveraged, totally in debt, and under the thumb of the IMF, and the Chinese, who've lent them massive amounts of dough with nothing to show for it. And now, I'm sure you've heard in the last month or two, after fingering Julian Assange, they've been kissing up to the Washington, D.C. corruptocrats, too, because they came bearing gifts and grant money immediately after Assange got kicked out. What a coincidence, huh? But you knew that already, right? South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.